The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan!
Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the frigid heartland of America, welcome. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody. Welcome to our humble cold bunker.
It is December 6th, 2010, and we're in single digits Fahrenheit.
Oh, my gosh.
Here.
Tomorrow is Pearl Harbor Day.
It is indeed. So what are we looking at? 68 years since the day that we live in infamy?
69. Wasn't it 41?
You're right. It was 1941. So 69 years since that day. So
it's easy to remember. It's the title of the movie that John Belushi was in.
That's right.
Look, I take those memory things where I can get them.
All right. Well, lots happened since we've done the last PID Radio. We took Friday as a day off, and so we were busy planning for a little get-together here in the bunker with some of our church friends, and had a wonderful time.
I was really tired. I had been decorating and decorating and decorating.
Decorating and planning for snacks.
Planning and cleaning and snacking. And
so.
And now we have all that is in the past now.
Yes.
And the next get together here in the bunker is on January 5th, which happens to be your birthday.
We'll be making a joyful noise. That's the choir and bell choir getting together. So anyway, a lot has happened since then. The WikiLeaks story continues to build, which is really interesting because this seems, the more we dig into this, to be more about various, this smells like an intelligence op.
It does, and it reads like a Tom Clancy novel.
It really does.
The more I read about this, the more I am convinced, as you, that there is so much more to this than Julian Assange.
Yeah, and it's interesting seeing the reaction from some alleged conservatives here in the United States. I think as an example of the extreme lunatic fringe. There's a columnist at WorldNet Daily named Barbara Simpson who bills herself as the babe in the bunker.
She's not in our bunker.
No. She's got her own bunker, but apparently it's a little more, you know, high class than our bunker, I guess. She's calling for this guy to be.
You're the fox in the bunker.
I love you.
I love you, too. Sam says he's the wolf in the bunker.
That's right. Or the wolf.
Yeah,
the wolf in the bunker.
Yeah, he's got a shirt on him that proves it. It says wolf on the back.
That's right. That's right. That's his alma mater, Wolf U. So he this
he
Barbara
means
Simpson,
nothing, you know, strange by that.
Yeah. This Barbara Simpson, I think, sort of epitomizes the reaction of some on the conservative right, or what passes for the conservative right in the United States, saying that Julian Assange is guilty of treason with a capital T, which is interesting because Julian Assange is an Australian citizen. So how an Australian can commit treason against the United States is
can't.
Not
it's
clear.
It's espionage.
Yeah.
If they're going to charge him with anything. But, of course, they're not charging him with that. They're charging him with this sex crime from Sweden.
Which is really interesting because the story has come out today that this accuser may be linked to the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The lawyer who recently represented Assange said that the sex assault investigation is based on claims that he didn't use condoms during sex with two Swedish women. It's not that he was not consensual. It's that he didn't use a condom.
You're kidding.
No.
Interpol is after him because of that.
Swedish prosecutors told AOL News last week that Assange was not wanted for rape, as has been reported, but for something called sex by surprise. or unexpected sex.
WikiLeaks?
Oh, dear. We're going to have to recategorize this podcast in iTunes if we keep going. Hoo-ha. Well, one of the accusers, whose name is Anna Arden, may have, and I quote, ties to the U.S.-financed anti-Castro and anti-communist groups, end quote. This is according to Israel Shamir and Paul Bennett, who wrote who write for the online magazine Counterpunch, counterpunch.org. Apparently, while in Cuba, this Arden worked with Las Damas de Blanco, or the Ladies in White, which is a feminist anti-Castro group, which apparently is reportedly connected to the CIA. So we've got intelligence groups back and forth. See, and this is the interesting thing about the whole Assange case. I know a person, and this tracks with what Doug Hagman of the Northeast Intelligence Network has said from his intelligence sources, who is, I know a person who is former military intelligence, and I was told that the odds of former specialist, then private first class, because Bradley Manning was busted from specialist down to private first class. But former specialist Bradley Manning, the odds that he would have access to a quarter of a million sensitive documents from the United States government are basically slim and none. And
well, he claims he hacked into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, and what's really odd about this whole story. Now, Manning was arrested this summer after he was, well, ratted out.
Ratted out by, frankly, a gray hat hacker.
Right. Now, a gray hat hacker is somebody who does illegal things, but he says they're for a good cause.
Yeah.
You know, the white hats only do good stuff. The black hats are out there for themselves. The gray hats...
I don't know.
This fellow's name, Adrian.
Look,
Leno.
Hacker is a hacker is a hacker.
Right. If you're doing illegal things in a good cause, you know, to me, that's roughly equivalent to telling lies for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a good cause, you don't need to lie to do it. Okay.
Right.
And in fact, we saw this fellow who was interviewed on show we used to watch on back in the old TV, Screensavers.
Loved it, back in 2002.
Yeah, Leo Laporte had him on and was talking to him. And this guy was proudly describing his adventures in what he called social engineering. Well, I'm sorry, but even as not any attorney or a prosecutor would have called what this guy did fraud or theft.
And when we say this guy, we're talking about Adrian Lamo, who was the one who outed,
right,
so to speak,
Bradley Manning.
Bradley Manning and... Right.
The way the story goes is this. Lamo apparently contacted or somehow managed to contact Manning on some online forum. And Lamo presented himself as a priest or a reverend, a minister of some sort. And thus, through the implication or the presumption that what was being shared was in confidence, like a confession, Manning supposedly told Lamo what he had done, which was hack into U.S. servers, get all these documents, and then send them to Julian Assange. Lamo then, after promising confidentiality to Manning, then turned around and told the government. But the story gets even more bizarre. Sharon was following this thread earlier.
It really does. I found an article from May of this year. And I need to find the article really quickly here. Continue talking while I find the article.
Well, Lamo is a guy, and all of this is beginning to sound like the backstory that was built for Lee Harvey Oswald. If you've watched the movie, flawed though it is, JFK by Oliver Stone, they do a really good job of demonstrating the backstory that was built for Lee Harvey Oswald. Sort of like the backstory that we get for all of these so-called lone nuts. We were watching a special last night on CNN about Mark David Chapman, the man who assassinated John Lennon. And for some reason, all of these guys, after they commit this heinous crime, suddenly it comes out that, oh, well, we should have seen this coming. This guy was in Cuba, and he was in Russia, and he was spouting off. And we're seeing the same kind of thing coming out about Bradley Manning.
We are.
He was a disturbed young man.
In fact, Mike Huckabee has come out on record and saying he should be executed. He hasn't even been tried.
That's like Nixon saying...
We only have the word of Adrian Lamo that he did this.
That's correct.
And it is actually... Lamo even says, and mm-hmm. It's interesting language, he isn't directly saying he knows Manning did it. He's saying Manning told him that he did it.
Right. And based on that, we've got people, Representative Steve King of Iowa, who says that the United States should declare him an enemy combatant so that we can grab him and lock him up in some foreign prison, presumably to be interrogated with extreme prejudice.
Well, here's the story. May 20th, 2010. This is a story at Wired.com that we'll link to. And the headline, ex-hacker Adrian Lamo institutionalized for Asperger's. Now, we'll get into what that is if you don't, if you've never heard of it. But basically, the story is that earlier in 2010, that Adrian Lamo had been in front of Safeway grocery store, and he says that his backpack was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
He called the local police. Now, this is an unusual thing, apparently, for a hacker to call the police. But mind you, he had been. If you don't know what the hacking that Adrian Lamo did, let me just give you a quick background. He hacked into the New York Times. He put his name on various files. He changed stories by Reuters and things like that. He added paragraphs that weren't there. He added attributions that weren't there. He added quotes that were, you know, made up. He hacked into the LexisNexis access that the New York Times had, so it looked like the New York Times was using LexisNexis to search for high-level security personnel. He admitted to this.
Mm-hmm.
He surrendered to the FBI.
Yeah, served time.
A couple of times. And the second time he surrendered, strangely enough, was on September 11 of 2003, I think. So he did. He served about 18 months. Now, here's the story. He's in front of Safeway and his backpack goes missing. He calls the local police. Again, this is an odd thing for him, unless, of course, he's surrendering for hacking. No, indeed, he was not doing that. He told the police that his backpack was missing, and it was very important that he find it because his medication was inside. I quote here that the local police found him, I got to find the line here. I'll read the whole paragraph. Someone had grabbed Lamo's backpack containing the prescription antidepressants he had been on since 2004, the year that he pled guilty to hacking the New York Times. He was depressed.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted his medication back. But when the police arrived at the Safeway parking lot, it was Lamo, not the missing backpack, that interested them. Something about his halting, monotone speech, perhaps slowed by his medication, got the officer's attention.
Or somebody showed him the Queen of, Queen of Hearts?
Yes. They arrived wearing that costume and high heels. An ambulance arrived. After a few moments of conversation, Lamo says, they just kind of exchanged a look and told me to get on the stretcher.
Hmm. Interesting.
Thus began Lamo's journey through California's mental health system.
For
Asperger's. And, according to this article, his journey of self-discovery. He was transported to a local emergency room and put under guard, and then transferred to Woodland Memorial Hospital near Sacramento. Mind you, this is a young man who phoned in a missing backpack, and within hours, he is in a hospital under guard.
So I guess phoning in for a missing backpack is sort of the modern equivalent of buying a copy of Catcher on the Rye.
Exactly. That's exactly it. He was in the system for a while. He finally got out a month before this was. So April of 2010, this year, he got out and he says he was discharged. No, May 7th, he says here. When Lamo was finally discharged to his parents' house on May 7th, 7 days in May. He left the hospital with a new diagnosis. At 29 years old, Lamo learned he has Asperger's disease. This is supposed to be a mild form of autism that is also called geek syndrome.
Yeah.
You just don't fit in with society.
According to Wikipedia, the definition of autism, they call it an autism spectrum disorder characterized by significant difficulties in social interaction, along with restricted and repetitive patterns of behavior and interests. Now,
But he seemed so nice. He was quiet. Mm-hmm. You know, he kept to himself.
There is some controversy over whether Asperger's should even be considered a recognized disorder or psychological disorder. Frankly, this kind of a definition, and I can understand that there would be extreme cases of this, but loosely defined, this Asperger syndrome could be applied to
you and me.
Yes.
You and I are both, honestly, we're on this show, we're talking, we're doing these things, but I give that credit to the Lord for that. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, if I had my druthers, I would hole up and just read, and I'd do nothing else.
Yeah.
Or watch television.
Yeah, my mother would be the first one to tell anyone who asks that there were times, many times when I was a child, that I would be so engrossed in what I was doing, usually reading, that the only way she could get my attention was to come over and physically touch me because I would not respond to audio, you know, stimuli. And you and I both, for mm-hmm. us, an exciting Friday night is sitting in front of the TV watching Battlestar Galactica or something, mm-hmm. as opposed to going out and socializing in large groups.
We're not considered very social.
No. So basically, this is almost a catch-all diagnosis.
Yes.
That can be used
and
to...
And they get to medicate it.
Yes, exactly. The way they describe his behavior when the police arrived, and we made a couple of references there to the Manchurian Candidate movie, if you didn't catch those references.
And
there.
7 Days in May.
And Seven
I
Days
threw
in
that
May,
into.
Right? Yes, we got them both.
So, any Frankenheimer directed movie, we're throwing it in.
Because it sounds like his programming had slipped, and suddenly they were on it, they got him, they go through this intense treatment, he comes out with a new lease on life, and lo and behold, he turns in the kid who supposedly hacked the United States.
Within months, Manning is named.
Right. And, of course, Manning, who's this disturbed young man who's got a background, has had an unhappy breakup of a homosexual relationship. Of course, the military, don't ask, don't tell, that can really hurt your career. He started posting all these things about how he was depressed and couldn't see a reason.
He did, and I don't know if this is at all related, but Lamo was appointed to the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, Queer, and Questioning Youth Task Force.
So when he outed, well, we won't go there and make a joke.
I have no idea.
But anyway, this is what's happened here. And again, my source, and it's anecdotal, I admit, is saying, you know, it's not likely that this young man would have had access to the kind of information that's been released, nor would he have access to burn it to a CD.
No, probably. He burned it to a CDRW, what he's saying. But I just find the story, it seems to have a lot of holes in it.
It does.
And you could say they're Swiss holes, but even the Swiss aren't buying this. They've closed the WikiLeaks bank account, which I think is so funny.
Mm-hmm.
The Swiss have closed down Assange's bank account because they say, oh, you lied about your address.
I think what we're seeing
don't
here,
ask, don't tell accounts have been the norm in Switzerland for decades.
Yeah, since before World War II.
Yes.
We are by no means experts on the workings of the intelligence community, but this just isn't adding up. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It really is minor embarrassment for the United States, but many of the things that have come out here are more embarrassing to other nations or perhaps specific individuals in the United States. Consider this, and this is something that we'll talk about with Doug Hagman of the Northeast Intelligence Network Friday night on A View from the Bunker. He points out that the attorney representing Julian Assange also does pro bono work for the Open Society Institute, which was founded and run by George Soros. George Soros, 2 weeks ago, was telling wealthy Democratic Party donors that they should back someone else for 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidence.
In other words, Obama is on his way out.
Yeah.
And anything that can be leaked that will make him look bad,
right.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Yeah, and so we'll see what happens here. Assange it seems to me to be the point of a knife that's being wielded by persons unknown, and that the blowback, such as it is coming from other elements inside the intelligence community. That is my guess. And again, I say this as an uneducated observer, but that seems to make more sense to me as a reasonably intelligent human being than the official story that we're getting from the media.
Well, I think it's more than getting Obama out. I think it's also, as you and I have said a number of times, these are controlled leaks.
Right.
This information is out there not only to make Obama look bad, but I think also to terrify the American public.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that was leaked today is a list of facilities that are, quote, vital to U.S. security.
Mm-hmm.
These are not places that we want the enemy to know about. And that's the meme that's been floated all day today. This list is vital. Cobalt mine in Congo, vital. Anti-snake venom factory in Australia, vital.
Insulin plant in Denmark.
Well, okay, yeah. Maybe.
But you know, these are things that anyone with half a brain.
But also infrastructure. Exactly. Anyone with half a brain. That's why this list, as far as I'm concerned, because it is stuff that you and I could probably put together if we spent, you know, a week on the internet.
Sure. And if we were evil.
Well, I'm glad we're not.
Fully evil, anyway. Because we know that none are righteous. So
not
we're not
one.
Claiming righteousness.
No,
but,
not one.
But you're right. This is a controlled leak. And the message here seems to be falling into several groups. You know, China, bad. Iran, bad. U.S., vulnerable. And who benefits from that? Well, the military-industrial complex that's trying to sell more stuff to keep us safe, like X-ray scanners, and wants more latitude to tap into our phone and email communications to check what's going on with our bank accounts to make sure we're not transferring large sums of money that they don't know about. It's okay for them to burn big sums of money. Just a brief aside, there was an interesting story today that a bunch of $100 bills that weren't quite up to spec like about $190 billion worth, $930 billion.
Yes, 10% of the cash in our country is frozen.
They're going to burn it because the bills.
Because we lied about our addresses.
Yeah.
No, they're going to burn it because those $100 bills. In fact, I have seen businesses locally.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been sent out because over the last few weeks I've seen businesses that say they're not going to accept any hundreds.
Yeah, because of the risk of counterfeit bills floating around. So these bills apparently are either counterfeit or they didn't quite meet spec when they were printed. So the government's just going to burn them. $120 million worth of cost, $930 billion worth of paper money. Anyway, going to go up in flames, literally. But the point being, the government now is sticking its nose into the point where just getting your own money out of the bank is sometimes an adventure in government surveillance. So this is what it's all pointing to, I think, or at least that's the analysis. It seems to make more sense than the official story, which is that it's all for our own good, our security. So,
I'm going to leave you with a question.
Yes?
FBI memo raises Barbie child pornography fears, and it's all about the fact that there's a new Barbie with a little camera in her chest.
Uh-huh.
She can record up to 30 minutes of video while the kid plays with her.
That seems like a bad idea. Why would you want a camera inside the Barbie?
See the little Barbie with the camera in her chest? I'm turning my computer around so Derek can
see.
That's
the little squeak there. You hear the.
Isn't that creepy?
Raised concerns that a Barbie doll featuring a video camera could be used by pedophiles. Well,
yeah.
Barbie video girl could be used for the production and possession of child pornography.
you give the little girl a Barbie. Well, I don't want to give ideas to anybody, but as if they can't figure it out on their own.
Yeah,
but
what a world.
I'm just asking, who came up with that idea?
What a world!
Well, I don't know. Do they have Barbie going like this?
backscatter X-ray Barbie.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a twisted mind out there that's already come up with that.
And TSA can.
We are going to have to recategorize this program. Oh, boy.
Well, that's what we get for taking a day off.
Yeah. One interesting thing, and this is ironic, that the Library of Congress, among other government websites, the Library of Congress has blocked access from all computers at the Library of Congress to the WikiLeaks website, which is, I'm not even sure if it's online now anyway. There was a report over the weekend that it's been crashed.
Yeah.
In order to prevent people inside the Library of Congress from downloading classified records. You know, just go over to the internet cafe and they could get them.
Exactly.
But anyway, we're just not going to have it here. And that would be the ironic thing is that the Library of Congress then would be the only place in the world not privy to these secrets. But the funny thing is,
they don't go there anyway.
The funny thing is that the Congressional Research Service, which is the group that's tasked by congressmen and senators with analyzing policy proposals and budget proposals for their actual impact on the country. The Congressional Research Service is a component of the library, which means that these researchers who've been asked by Congress to figure out the impact of these leaked documents to the United States of America are unable to access the leaked documents.
Oh, are we done, by the way? Sam just came in and looked at me.
He's a couple of minutes early, but that's okay. We can pad.
No,
with the theme.
No. No, I think we have to talk about other things. What else is going on in the world?
Well,
let's see. No, that's not going on. Cozy blankets. There are cozy blankets for sale at the Guardian in the UK.
Oh, you know, here is something that we should talk about because this affects our local cable company.
The Comcast thing.
Yeah, this has been in the works for quite a while, but it is raising some questions now. Finally, perhaps like the WikiLeaks documents, the doors of the barn being closed a little too late. But Comcast is merging with NBC. Which means you've got
NBC Universal.
Right. Which means you've got one
it's
of the
more
largest.
Than just a network.
You've got one of the. Right. Okay. So you've got one of the largest broadcast networks.
And of course, NBC. Producers of content.
Right. Which includes, you know, NBC includes USA Network and Bravo and.
Are they still part of the Microsoft MSNBC? Is that.
MSNBC?
Gates,
sure.
He's still an investor in that.
Yeah. And Comcast is, the largest. The largest cable television provider in the country. And, of course, NBC Universal is a division of General Electric. So you've got the GE and Comcast. GE, which is a major government contractor, and NBC Universal, one of the largest content providers, owns a multitude of networks and the largest cable system in the country, just about to merge. So they basically they're offering a soup to nuts. The government decides what to do, or General Electric tells the government what it's going to do, and then NBC dutifully reports it, and then it's force-fed through all the networks. You remember when they were doing all the green programming and all these networks, and every channel you went to, NBC, Bravo, USA Today, they were all showing, like, green stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was... disturbing.
They bring good things to life.
Yes, and we see all those ads, commercials for General Electric and how its technology is actually green and stuff.
They bring good things to life.
Yeah, I think this is a bad thing.
It is a bad thing, and it reminds me of the old studio system, speaking of Universal Studios. Back in the day, they not only produced the content, they owned the
theaters.
They owned the theaters.
And basically, we've just come full circle now. Mm-hmm. They're doing it now through television and through the internet, and because the internet
Is where it's all going.
Right. Internet and TV are essentially merging. This, as you say, is where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even more disturbing than back in the day when you had the theaters and the movie production companies essentially being one and the same. Here, because of General Electric's status as a major defense and military contractor with the United States, also being part of this media conglomerate, I think you got a lot of power in relatively
Comcast-o.
Few years. Yeah. You can bet there are people out there like Netflix who are not very happy about this right
not
now.
Not at all, because Comcast wanted to charge Netflix to stream its content.
Right, because Netflix or Comcast has its own version called Fancast.
We have Comcast as our internet provider, and we love Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And had that gone through, we would have had to pay extra just to stream Netflix.
Yeah, well, we'll see how long this plays out. But this is something to keep an eye on as the, you remember back in the day when I was, back in the mid-80s when I was beginning my radio career, media companies couldn't own more than 7 AM, 7 FM, and 7 TV companies. Period. Total. End of story. Now you've got some companies that are owning that many in a single market.
Mm-hmm.
And this just takes this to a whole nother level. So keep an eye out for that. We'll keep talking as long as we can and as long as there's a forum to do it. And we'll be back again tomorrow, God willing. Until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone.